Listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Josh Vietti.
Putting my microphone down somewhere. How you guys doing? Yeah? There are no blasphemers here tonight, right? Also known as Giants fans. Well, yeah, I like to insult... I like to insult a few people that think they know a good baseball team is. But I went to the game last night, and I'd never been to a playoff game my whole entire life. I had a credit from one of these online ticket things. My buddy hit me up. He's like, "Let's go." I'm like, "You know, yeah, let's do it, man. Let's do it." So tonight is going to be part baseball, part Bible study. I'll do the best I can. we were just talking about it backstage. Pastor Tom's like, "What was it like?" I was like, "It was tribal. I was at a Dodger game in the outfield with the people like me that just squeezed into the game last minute." And it was funny because, like, the Giants fans would get belligerent and yell and scream. And then the whole, like, section would stand up and start yelling and pointing. And then they would come and take the Giants fan away. It was the weirdest thing. It was like a cultural experience. But I felt like I was with my people. Yeah, okay, we get it. You had to say. Anybody else want to get it out? Say Giants are great. Yeah, okay. We'll see tomorrow night, right? Go Dodgers. Anyway, it's funny living in Bakersfield because you have like half and half. Actually, I think there's like a little bit more Dodger fans than Giants. But I will stop talking about baseball. I'm going to move on. Just saying, though, like about baseball, God, it's God's favorite sport. I mean, all the other sports are like, they're not that great, but baseball, you know what I mean? So, all right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day, and I thank you for this night. And God, I just want to especially give you a thanks for the frustration in our lives. And I want to thank you for the confusion in our lives. I want to thank you, Lord, for the trials in our lives. I want to thank you that we're having a harder time following you right now. I want to thank you for the attacks. I want to thank you for everything that comes our way that reminds us that we need to be more prepared. And so, God, tonight, as we look into your word, as we seek you out, Lord, that we would hear what your voice is speaking to not only the church at large, but to us individually. Both are important. So help us to see that, God. Help us to see exactly what it is that you're speaking to us. And I pray that you'd show us, Lord. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're in the book of Philippians, and I'm going to pick up where Pastor Hector left off 2 weeks ago. Pastor Jim's going to be joining us every once in a while. I hope you guys enjoy that. It's kind of cool to hear from him when he's been over there doing his thing, because you don't see him as often. So on Wednesday nights, I'm going to try to have him a few times. And he's the only one that I've said, hey, you don't have to stick with Philippians, but the rest of us are going to stick with Philippians. So when he comes, he gets a freebie, because that's not the study that he's in. But I'm going to be speaking in Philippians. We're going to have other pastors speaking in Philippians. I won't be here every Wednesday night, but it doesn't mean it's not going to be good, because the guys have been coming with the word. And every time I pray about the person who's supposed to speak, they are like, I knew this was coming. It's really funny. God speaks to them and tells them ahead of time, prepares them, and it's been really good. So I just want to let you guys know that. The reason I'm not going to be speaking as much on Wednesdays is because I'm going to be speaking more on Sundays for a while. This Sunday I'll be speaking, and then starting October 31st, my dad came up with this idea where we're both going to speak on Sundays, which is going to be interesting, because there's only one office back there. That's the problem, right? So we're going to have to, like, divide it, put a little divider, and I'll just say, stay in your space, Dad, stay in your space. I just thought of that. That's going to be a problem. Okay. No, but it's going to be good. What he's going to do is he's going to do a Bible study second service, and then I'm going to come out with the topical on first and third. And so I'm going to have a lot more video going on, but it's going to be topic-based. And it's funny how much my dad and I coordinate on context, but our delivery is so different. And so I think what that means is we're going to be able to speak to a wider audience. And so you guys can come to both, man. I think some of you guys will. You guys will come to second service and stick around for third. That's fine. We got the room. We got the space. But if those of you guys that are, you're like, hey, I really want, you know, something that's more topical, whatever, it doesn't matter. Just pray about which service to come to and come to either service. It's not going to hurt my feelings if everybody crowds in at the second service and nobody comes to third. It's fine. Just kidding. All right, so Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 is where we're going to start. Before that, I just want to have a quick talk with you guys. I've had a lot of sit-downs lately. I've been going through this phase where I've been calling people and reaching out to people as they come to mind. And it's funny when I talk to people about serving God, it's so simple, right? A lot of times it just has to do with encouraging somebody or just saying, hey, how are you? I mean, how hard is it to send a text that says, how are you? And we play this game when people come to mind, right? We play this game because we don't really want to do it at first. I don't know if you guys are like me, but I'm not real social naturally. And so when God puts somebody on my heart, I'm like, that's going to turn into a whole thing. I don't have time for that, you know? And I start playing this game, and then I'm like, well, is this God or is this me? What is this, right? And so I have this new philosophy. Because the truth is, I don't always know when it's God or when it's me. I don't know, always. Sometimes I think my thoughts are so strong that it's God, but it's really, it turns out to just be the Taco Bell I ate before, right? Or whatever. And so I have this thing where I've been, if God puts someone on my heart, I ask myself, is this a good thing to do anyway? Like, is this, what's it going to hurt to do this, whether it's God or not? And I've just been doing it right away. And what's crazy is the timing has been so perfect for them. They'll always tell me, how did you know that I was going through this? My friend just told me I was about to scream at my wife and you text me. And it was like, I was like, I don't know. I'm starting to get weird and do things that my dad taught me to do. And I'm starting to just reach out to people, you know, and it's working. And so I'm having lunches with people and I don't know what I'm going to say to them. But I just sit down and they start talking and I start talking and fellowship just starts happening, you know? And what's interesting is I've had lunch with multiple people lately and they all seem to be going through the same thing. That's interesting. It's almost like the devil has a plan and he just kind of, he tries to like streamline it and just uses it on everyone at the same time, right? Everyone is going through a lot right now. Everyone I talk to. So some of you guys, you come here tonight and you're thinking, I am alone. I am not a part of the church. I'm different. You know, I'm going through something that nobody else is going through. That's the devil talking to you, okay? That's your head talking to you. That's not God, okay? Because God sees all of us and sees all of our struggles and realizes we're all on the same ship and the ship is moving through stormy waters right now, right? I said it on Sunday night at the worship night. I said, COVID was tough. It's been a tough couple of years, right? But this is round one of a long fight. Round one, and we made it through. We're still breathing. You're like, no, I haven't made it through yet. I'm still struggling. Yeah, I know, because we have PTSD. Like, not like just kind of PTSD. Like, we have legit PTSD because we all thought we could die at one moment in the last couple of years, right? It's the same thing as somebody who's in Iraq and a bomb goes off close to them. It's a little bit more traumatic for them because they probably saw some crazy stuff. But for us, some of you guys were in the hospital or your friends were in the hospital and you thought they're gonna die. My friend's wife was in the hospital and he thought she was gonna die. He's a tough guy. He's not emotional, but he thought that. And there's a reaction that happens when trauma happens. And so what's happening right now is the devil is exploiting that, exploiting our emotions, exploiting our lack of energy and frustration, and it's getting into our relationships, right? I'm not gonna ask you to raise your hand how many people have had a fight with their wives in the last month. I'm not gonna ask you that because I already know the answer. Right? Am I right? I'm on the list too, by the way. My dad's on the list too, by the way. It was awkward the other night. I was watching the baseball game. My mom and dad were like sitting at opposite ends. I'm like, oh, something going on here. You know what I mean? And they'll figure it out. They always do. But no one's perfect. That's what's cool about this church is we can come here and, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about that cancel culture thing recently in Gruden and the Raiders. I'm not a Raider fan, but I'm like, dude, seriously? Like, we're just going to cancel everybody? Like, we're going to take all the talent and put them on the bench? Like, because people make mistakes? That's the world's way. The church is not, our church anyway, is not going to move forward in cancel culture, all right? That's what the devil wants. The devil wants us to start adopting that culture. When something happens culturally, it always gets into the church. And it's gonna start to get into the church at large. Watch. And I think about myself, and I'm like, there are reasons that I should be canceled. And I get fearful, and I get worried. And I'm like, God, please don't let me lose my position. And then I allow this pressure to come, and then I have, like, these breakdowns and all this stuff. And recently I've been realizing that it doesn't matter. Because God has a plan. And tonight's scripture speaks exactly to that. And so it's so cool. So we'll get right into it. And first I want to read Psalm 104:34. We're going to do a little exercise to get our minds right. Psalm 104:34. Go ahead and pull that up. You guys have that? By any chance? It's just kill the graphic and we'll be good. If you guys can. Anyway, I don't know if you guys can see that, but it says, let my meditation be pleasing to him. As for me, I shall be glad in the Lord. Let my meditation, okay, be pleasing to him. So I did what I do, and I've been thinking about meditation a lot because the discipline of your mind matters so much. And when we choose to meditate on God, it changes our mind. It actually changes the structure of our mind. And it's something that we need to do. At the worship night on Sunday night, how many of you guys were here Sunday night for that worship night? Oh my gosh. I haven't experienced something like that in a while. It was refreshing. It was so cool. I've never seen a worship night where a worship moment where the band was done and everyone stayed here. And they said, keep going. They yelled at the band, and the band said, okay, we have to keep going. And the band kept going, and then they finished after a couple more songs, and nobody left. I was like, God's doing something here. It was so cool. So they asked me to speak at it, and I came out, and I talked about meditation without using the word meditation. I don't use the word meditation a lot because it has this weird, like, you know, what do you think of when you think of meditation? You think of those weirdos with robes on, and they're, you know, up on a mountain somewhere. You're doing the ohms and all that stuff. But meditation is just it's a discipline of the mind. And so I looked up the Hebrew word for meditation, and it means an utterance or babbling. This is babbling. Have you ever been in that place where you're just babbling? You don't even know what to say. It's also communication. But one of the main definitions of meditation, which I thought was interesting, is complaint. It's complaint. How many of you guys struggle with complaining? Me too. I was complaining about baseball last night. I was complaining to some of the players. My buddy, he was like, don't complain, dude. And then the players that I was complaining about ended up playing the best, you know. But complaining is when we look at our circumstances and we think, this is unfair. This is unfair. I've done all the things I'm supposed to do, and my circumstances are not what they should be, and this is unfair. And we think about it, and we let it settle in. And when we start to complain, it affects our relationships, right? When we are negative, when we complain, we start complaining about the people around us or about life itself. It brings attention into our home. And because of that, we end up having conflicts with people we love the most, right? But the silver lining is that when we have conflicts with each other, usually that leads, if in a good relationship, in my relationship anyway, it leads to, I'm saying that yours isn't good, but I'm saying that I just know that in a good relationship, that conflict always leads to conversation. It may be ugly at first, yelling, screaming, telling people what you think and just lashing out. But then ultimately, like if my wife and I have a thing, we talk and we have a good conversation. And then that conversation brings about resolution. So meditation may start off a little messy. It may start off with a complaint. When you're uncomfortable, that's good. When your circumstances aren't favorable, that's good, because that's a reason for you to put your complaints down. Write them down on paper. Submit them to God, but then set them aside and just think of God. So at the worship night on Sunday night, I said, let's just take 30 seconds right now and be silent. And we did. And it was awkward. And we're going to do it here in a second, because I like awkward, I think. But because it's powerful also. So when we think of God and only God, and we learn to do this on a daily basis, our circumstances are going to matter much less. I'm not saying that they'll change. They'll matter much less. And you'll realize that it's not about the circumstance, but it's about what God is doing in your life. And many times, most of the time, he'll use that circumstance to make it happen in a way that you didn't imagine before. And this will make sense in a moment when we get into the scripture. But right now, what I want to do is I want to do this thing, this awkward thing of silence. So we're going to do it right now for 30 seconds, okay? Don't look at your phones. Here's the rules, okay? There's rules. Don't look at your phones. Don't look at your Bible. In fact, we'll just close our eyes. Probably the best thing to do. And let's try to do this. Think. Let's first think about the thing that you have a complaint about. Let's do that first so we can get that out of the way. So just right now, think about anything in your life that you have a complaint about. It could be about somebody else. It could be about yourself. It could be about politics. It could be anything. Anything that you have a complaint about right now. Anything at all. Think about it. Now let's just close our eyes. Let's think about that complaint. And let's set the complaint aside. Now let's take 30 seconds and focus only on God. Let's go. Now, if we do that every day, start our day off with that, what's that going to do to your thought life? It seems small, and it seems insignificant and silly, but it's an exercise to get our minds right. Think about starting your day off like that every day, and then work up. Start at 30 seconds. Go to 2 minutes. And I'm not talking about reading your Bible. I'm not talking about praying. I'm not talking about, it'll lead into that, I'm sure. But I'm talking about just thinking about God. Because if we think about who God is, right? And then when we're looking at our circumstances and we think about who God is, and we see there's a comparison there, and then we see that there's really no comparison because God is huge, he's massive, he's wonderful, and he's good, and he's a good father, it makes our circumstance shrink and 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 shrink, right? Smaller and smaller. When Isaiah 6, when he sees God in his glory sitting on the throne and the angels are flying around him, when he has this vision of God, he immediately thinks of how small he is. And he immediately thinks of his sin. And he immediately thinks of the things that he's doing wrong. When we look at God or think of God and we meditate on God, it causes us to reflect on ourselves. And then it causes us to repent. And repent is a good word, not a bad word. Repent simply means to look back at God and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I need to be with you, not against you. I need to be focused on you, not ignoring you, right? And when we do that, he will bring us to another level. He'll bring you out of your funk. Even if your circumstance continues to be bad, he'll take your mind and your heart out of it. So what I'm talking to you about right now, I know I haven't gotten to the scripture, but it's all about the scripture tonight. So we're gonna go there now, okay? So Philippians, we're gonna start in verse 12 where Pastor Hector left off. Philippians 1:12 says this, "Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment, which was his circumstance, Paul was in prison, okay, in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. And that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. So I think we're going to stay in these three verses tonight. I wanted to go further, but there's so much here that I want to hit. So first thing that I want to talk about is Paul's circumstance, okay? His circumstance is he's in prison. How many of you guys, raise your hand tonight if you're in prison. Somebody online is watching from prison right now, right? I apologize if you are. If you are, this is a good message for you. So, I don't know if they're allowed. Are they allowed to have the internet in prison? They should, for VBF sermons only, right? and maybe Amazon shopping, because you know. So Paul was in prison when he wrote this, and. Prison probably stunk. It probably was like literally bad, a bad smell, and it was a bad experience, and he was chained up, and there were guards surrounding him. He was worried because, or he wasn't worried, they were worried because of the church, all this following that Paul had. They probably thought those people are crazy. They're going to come break him out anytime, and so he had a lot of security, a lot of stuff going on, right? But in his circumstances, he saw that it was part of the process, and he stayed committed. He started... focusing on his new audience were the guards, the people around him. And he got so excited, and in Philippians it says right here that because of his imprisonment, good things have happened. The church grew, and the people started to understand more about who God was. Have you ever gone through a bad moment, a trial, a difficult time, and then you look back on it, and you say, if that didn't happen, these other good things wouldn't have happened? That's God, right? God allows us to go through bad circumstances so that his will can be done. See, I've been talking about this lately. We all are so worried about our own purpose. What's my purpose? What's my calling, right? And we get into funk when we don't think that our purpose and our calling is going the way it should go, right? Well, forget your purpose. Forget your calling. It's not important. What's important is what God's purpose is and the fact that you are part of that. And when you get to the point where your priorities are set straight, and I've had to do this lately, where my priorities are God, just for God's sake, just my relationship with him first, then my family, then my calling and purpose. Like, if you get that right, then you stop stressing about where you are or where you aren't. And you start thinking, you know what? I'm with God. So no matter what happens, right? If Josh Vietti gets, if the cops come in right now and they pull me off and arrest me and take me to jail for who knows what, right? Probably nothing that I've ever done, but you know, they come in and take me down, most of you would leave the church. Am I right? You know, but this was back then, Josh. This is history. This is old time stuff. Yeah, but what if it happened today? It could. We're kind of going that direction, if you haven't noticed. I mean, I don't want to be like a crazy person, but you know, if you read Revelation, it's kind of scary. I mean, it's kind of crazy. But what if? What if they arrested my dad on Sunday? They come up during his Bible study, excuse me, Pastor Ron, we're going to take you in because you are a terrorist. Because you're preaching about Jesus, right? What would we do? What would we do? I love Paul's attitude because he's sitting there chained up. Maybe one hand's chained and the other hand's writing. That attitude is amazing. And that's the kind of attitude that we need to have. Maybe one hand is chained. Maybe some things aren't right in your life. Praise God, because you are still in his will. You're still in his will. My friend Adrian, we had a talk this week, and God always speaks to me through Adrian. I don't know why. It's just he's that guy. I think he just pays attention and prays, and I don't know what it is. We just have this connection, and he was giving me some stuff, some thoughts, that some struggles he was going through, and he was getting discouraged a little bit. And I don't think he cares if I share this, but he reached out to his mentor, and his mentor told him, you know, sometimes we want to quit because we're in the middle. You know, there's where you were when you met Christ and you had all these dreams and visions and excitements. Have you ever met somebody that's like first-time Christian and they're so hopeful and excited? And then you meet somebody who's been a Christian for 10 years and they're just like, eh, right? It's because they're in the middle. It's because they're not where they're supposed to be yet. And all of us, I look out here and I see a lot of you guys that are in the middle, you know, and it's not easy to be in the middle. And he's like, you're right, like this is part of the process, you know? And I took that thought a little further and I thought, you know what? Not only are we in the middle of our journey, we're in the middle of God's big story. The story that started in the garden and with Adam and Eve and is going to end maybe soon. Maybe we're at the end of the story. And the truth is I don't know how the story ends. But that's good because God can now surprise me with the ending. If I get excited about a movie coming up and somebody else, one of my friends, gets to see it before me, I avoid talking to that friend, you know? Because I know they're going to try. I know that even though they don't, they have good intentions, they're going to ruin it for me. They're going to tell me something that I want to see the whole story, you know? And a good movie, a good story has hope, you know, but then it also has a lot of frustration and challenges and drama and ups and downs and struggles. And then in the end, if it's a good movie, you know, there's a resolve. There's a moment where the hero steps in and saves everyone. And my hero is Jesus, and he's going to save me in the end, but I don't know how. And that's okay. I don't know exactly how. You know, I don't know when. And that's okay. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And that's okay because I'm part of the story, and I'm in the struggle part right now. But it has a happy ending. It does. And God, being the good writer that he is, why would he blow it for us by telling us the ending? Why would he ruin it for us, right? Paul was in prison. I mean, I just can't get over that. Just that thought of him being in prison and the circumstances where he had to know what was going on around him, right? He had to know what was happening around him. And he had to know people were coming and going. There were like gladiator type games. There were people that would come and gather and go to plays, and you know, all the prison was probably next to the amphitheater, right? And he could probably hear the cheers and all this stuff. And he heard people talking. You know, the guards were probably saying, "Hey, what are you doing tonight, man? You know, I'm going to that movie tonight, whatever, right? Or play, whatever they did, right?" So he knew that people were living their lives outside of the walls. But Paul didn't have no FOMO. You know what I mean? You know what FOMO is? So I'm a geriatric millennial, which makes me still a millennial, so I understand like the verbiage of the youngins, right? So FOMO, yeah, exactly. FOMO is fear of missing out. Yeah, see, he knows. Yeah, all right. Fear of missing out, this is what kids say. So if you hear your children say, for those of you that are over 50, if you hear your children say, "Hey, I got FOMO, man," you're like, okay, you have fear of missing out, which means like, and it's a thing. It's like a legitimate thing because people have cell phones and they get on Instagram or Facebook and they see people having fun. Everybody saw me at the game last night and they're like, "Oh, they got FOMO. They wanted to be there with me. I should have invited you. I'm sorry." But Paul, right, is in prison and everyone's living their lives. And I understand that maybe some of you have been in prison before, so you know exactly what this is. But I also understand that some of you feel like you've been in prison. And you feel like you've been stuck, and you feel like you're isolated, and you feel like everybody's living their lives around you. And that's not a good feeling. But Paul was able to understand that there was a purpose for him being where he was, that he was right at the party that he was supposed to be at. He was right where he was supposed to be. It's crazy, isn't it? Just the ability that Paul had to really make lemonade out of lemons. Paul wrote this in Romans 8, Romans 8:18. By the way, Romans 8 is a great scripture. If you're ever down, you're ever discouraged, open up, read Romans 8. Actually, read Romans 8 and then Romans 12, and you're set. Like those two chapters. So just so you know. So we're gonna go through a couple of these scriptures. Verse 18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us," right? And verse 28, you guys know this one. "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. Okay? All things. Good things, not good things. All things. He causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. How many of you guys love God? Raise your hand high. You love God. All right. How many of you guys need a little bit more of that love? Same hands. Because you know, right, that you need it. So if you love God, right, and if you don't, ask him to put love in your heart, and it'll work. Trust me, I've done that. But if you love God, it's going to work out. It's going to be okay. So look at verse 35 through 39. It says, who, okay then, will separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Will tribulation? Let me ask you this. Will tribulation separate you from the love of God? No. Will distress? What about persecution? Somebody comes at you. No? What about famine? You're hungry. Maybe for a minute, but you'll get past it, right? What about nakedness? Well, I mean, hey. Apparently it doesn't. I've never been in this position where I had no clothes. But there are people downtown that have that issue. What about peril? What about sword? Nothing, right? Go on to 36. Just as written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as a sheep to be slaughtered. But in all things, these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I'm convinced, keeps going, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What do you care about most? Besides God, says Jesus, that's a good answer, but what in life, what do you care about most? For me, besides God, it's my family, right? I care about my family the most. What's interesting is what I care about the most is what I fear losing the most, right? So the devil exploits that the most, right? Causes issues there the most. We need to remember the scriptures and say, you know what? No. Nothing's going to separate me from the love of God. Nothing. Nothing. And in the end, if my family, and this is a horrible thought, but if my family's taken away from me, God will still be there. And not easy to swallow, guys. It's not easy to swallow. And I believe me, if something happened to my family, I would need you all to step in and help. But I know God would still be there. Because of Paul's circumstances of being imprisoned, right? The church grew, and he saw that. Verse 14, I'm going to read that again, and we'll go through that, and we'll finish here. And that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Because of his circumstances and because he kept going even though his circumstances were unfavorable, which is the big part of that, right? Like, we all go through bad times, but how many of us go through really difficult times and stay in the game and stay focused? That's when God really works. That's when people look at you and go, huh, that's different. There's a couple that went to our church for years and they lost a daughter, 4 years old, cancer. They went through hell on earth. The worst you can go through. And I was a witness to a lot of it. I don't know how they're still living their life, but they're not just living their life. They're thriving. They're doing well. They're praising God still. And I look at people like that and I think, okay, if they can do that, I can definitely keep doing this. I can definitely keep doing this. It's when we continue to stick with what God called us to in spite of our circumstances. That's when God does amazing things, and that's when other people start to see it, right? And so in this verse 14, they did two things. The effect was two-part effect. The effect was that they lost fear, and they gained courage. Now I'm going to do a series that includes fear and courage and love, starting maybe this Sunday. I'll probably dip into it on Sunday, but I'm really going to start it on the 31st, and we're going to move on. But fear and courage is something I've been thinking about a lot lately. Fear, and it's October too, so you're like, I don't know why, but things get spookier in October. You know what I mean? Things start happening, like weird stuff. You start hearing noises and stuff, you know? But fear is natural, and it has a place in our lives. It's not a bad thing, right? I'm glad, very glad, that my baby and my one-year-old is fearful of the stove when it's on. She'll walk in, and she'll say, hot, daddy, hot, because we taught her. Yes, and it's not, she's not, like, devastated. She's not hiding in the corner because the stove is on. She knows not to put her finger in the fire, right? And so those types of fears are completely normal and part of being a human. It's just simple respect. It's having common sense, right? It's not driving 100 miles down the freeway with no seatbelt on because you know that that's not safe, right? It doesn't mean that you're a wussy, right? It means that you're smart, right? And it's good to have that kind of fear. But the problem is when the fear starts to control our lives. And there are other words that we use for fear, by the way. Anxiety. I think women end up using anxiety a lot, that word. It's fear. Men, we use the word stress because we're not fearful. We're not afraid of nothing, but a little stressed out, yeah. Same thing. It's fear. Think about the last big decision you made, okay? Think about it right now. Okay? And what was the motivation behind that decision? Was fear involved in making that decision? I made a proclamation to myself a couple years ago. It was 2019. It was around this time of the year that I'm not going to make decisions in my life based on fear. And that's something I have to think about because sometimes I don't even know. I have to think about, am I running away from something? Am I trying to alleviate a pain and not actually do anything about the real root of the problem? Like, what's the thing? And so we have to make sure that we know that we're not doing things. We're not making decisions. We're not living by fear. I wrote down earlier, fear pushes us to unproductive and sometimes destructive vices, right? Under the pretense of changing how we feel about our circumstances. Sometimes we just want to feel better. And when we think, what's going to make me feel better? Oh, I know, looking at my phone and seeing what everybody else is doing with their lives. No, that never works, right? Like, we think it's going to. What's going to make me feel better? I'm going to binge watch that new series on TV. Nothing wrong with looking at your phone. Nothing wrong with doing that stuff. But the problem is that you're ignoring a problem. You're allowing yourself to feed yourself something that's not good just to alleviate a pain. I did some marketing classes a while back, and they said most people would rather take a pain pill than a vitamin. And the idea in that is that most people wait until the pain is there, and then they'll try to fix it, but they will never do something to make sure the pain never comes. But that's where the discipline comes in, right? When things are going well, and I know for some of you, things are going okay right now. When things are going well, don't be afraid, but start preparing for a trial to come so that when that trial does come, you'll expect it and you'll be ready for it, right? Start doing that because I'm telling you, a month and a half ago, I told myself things are going really well for me right now. It wasn't days later that changed. And a lot of it's up here. It's a choice. It's discipline. You can believe in God all you want. That doesn't mean much. James said that, right? He said, you believe in God? And everybody's like, yeah. He's like, good. The demons do too. So you're at the par with demons right now if you believe in God. But it's about doing what God has called you to do. But not just doing. It's not about doing. That's wrong. Let me go back. It's about being in relationship with God. It's about sitting down with him. It's about gleaning off of him and receiving from him. And we can come to God the Father through Jesus. I know people like think I don't talk about Jesus a lot, but Jesus, his role in our walk is that he died for us and took our sins so that we could connect with the Father and the Holy Spirit. right? And he's our Lord, and we follow Jesus, but we pray to God. Jesus taught us to do that, right? Not a big deal, but I just think it's good to know the roles. And so the other thing, and I need to finish here, but the other thing is they lost fear, but they gained courage. Kind of a two-way street. When you set down your fear, courage sets in, right? And courage is basically moving forward even though things aren't perfect. Even though you're not fearless, right? Not completely fearless. Courage is saying, that looks dangerous, but I feel like God is calling me to it, so I'm going to start walking toward the danger. And as you do, you'll start to realize that the danger isn't as great as you think, and that God has something for you. It's being unfazed. I like that word right now. I'm going to start using that word a lot. Unfazed by our outside circumstances. You get that phone call from your boss. Hey, choose you out. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Or that client or the other boss, your wife. Right? See, this guy back here, he knows exactly what I'm talking about. You get that stressful moment. You wake up. Somebody has an emergency, and all of a sudden, it's your problem, right? But if we spend time with God first, you're much more likely to be unfazed by that. You're like, okay, let's see where this goes. It's part of the process today. What is God going to do with this, right? That's the attitude that he's calling us to. Unfazed and sticking with what we ought to in spite of. I want to read one last scripture at the end here. And then I'm going to end. But 1 Peter 5, 6 through 10 says there, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety, your fear, your stress, all that stuff, casting it on him, which is something that I have to do often because they come back. It's like a boomerang, right? They come back, and I have to put them back on. God, take this, take this, take this. Oh, it's back again. Take it, take it, take it. Okay, good. You got it for a while. I'm going to do my thing. Comes back. God, take it again, please. Cast your anxiety on him because he cares. Because God actually cares, believe it or not. And then it says, be of sober spirit. Be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you've suffered for a little while, the God of grace, your dad, by the way, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will, this is what he's going to do. He's going to perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's his work. You think God is dead set on finishing his job with you? You better believe it. In spite of your circumstances, in spite of you, in spite of you. Some of you guys might feel the way I feel, like I never get it right. I try, I do okay for a while, and then I get in a funk, and I complain, I do all these things. But some of you guys feel that same way, and it's because we're human, because we are in this together, and it's not easy, and it takes discipline, and it takes practice. But let me ask you guys in the front row, like John, right here in the front row. John, have you seen me grow over the years? I've grown. He's like, yeah, I've seen you go south too. But the growth hasn't been like this. It's been like this, right? And I look around and I've seen you guys grow. And it's because you stick with it. It's not because you're out there just nailing it and getting it perfect every day. It's because you stick with it. And when you fall down, you get back up. And I know I say these things a lot, but it's because I've seen godly men do the same thing. And there's a generation of godly men that are going to graduate at some point in the future. And it's going to get scary for us that are still here. But thinking of the way that they've done it and that they've continued to get back up every single time they've fallen is so much inspiration and so much of a reason to be courageous myself. So the devil's a roaring lion. You know, if you're in the woods and if a lion is stalking you and wants to attack you and eat you, especially in this area, mountain lions, you're not going to hear him. He's going to sneak up on you. He's going to grab you by the back of the neck. You're going to be done. So if you're wondering if you're going to take your family on a hike this weekend, just have that thought in your mind, okay? Keep your kids in front of you. But it's funny that the scripture that Peter talks about lions as roaring lions. I notice roaring lions. They're obvious. Easy to avoid, right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, I pray, God, that we would all of us would, every time we get fearful, every time we get frustrated, every time we have an issue, that we would lay those down and give them to you. But more than anything, Lord, that we would focus on the fact that you're with us now, you're with us today, and you're going to be with us tomorrow, and you've been with us since the beginning. And we thank you for that, Lord. And I pray that all of us would have the attitude of, I'm moving forward anyway. I don't need permission from others. I don't need validation from others. I don't need everyone to fall in line with my vision. I don't need all my problems to go away. I don't need any of that. What I need is I need to sit down and get on my knees and get on my face before you every single day anyway. So Lord, put that desire in all of our hearts and let us get into that practice on a daily basis. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We seek you, Lord.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us a king.